Welcome in, everyone, to Beyond the Beat, 32 Beat Writers. My name is Zach Heidig, and today I'm here with our head content manager, Matt Olson. Matt, how are you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Happy to be here for another episode. Got a fun one today. Got a great guest with us.
Yeah, we're talking all things wide receivers, everybody, and we got Milo Powell, a writer for our website here with us today. You might see more of him here in the future. Milo, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you aboard, and you know, you've been doing a lot of things for us recently. Most recently for the site, you've been writing about some hidden gems that we can expect to find maybe in the later rounds of our drafts here in this upcoming season, particularly for Dynasty and whatnot. We've really appreciated seeing those, and if you haven't read those, listener, you should check those out after you're done here. Before we move too far along, I did want to mention that if you use the code podcast on the website, you're going to get 50% off of our pro membership. That'll get you all the summaries that are super critical upcoming for the rest of the offseason, especially with rookie minicamp and everything after the draft. You're going to want to pay attention to that. And every second Friday of the month, that is, we are on Reddit with an Ask Me Anything Dynasty football, Dynasty FF thread over there on Reddit. So, and additionally, for any of you who do not know, you should have heard this in the podcast feed the other day, but we now have a voicemail or text line that you can call. I'm interested to see how much you guys use that. Feel free to call us at 818-308-5020. That's 818-308-5020. And you can leave us voicemail and ask us a question. We'll play it on the show. We have one today, actually. So, all right, let's talk about the news, guys. Let's just dig right into it. Moving along here, we got a lot to talk about. Really quickly, Devonta Smith re-signs with the Eagles. It's basically an extension coupled with his fifth-year option, locks him up through 2028. How do you guys think this plays long-term, and you like it or hate it? Matt?
I think this is the bigger thing with this to me is, do you believe in Jalen Hurts more than anything? I think we're all aware Smith has talent. He had talent in college. He's come in clearly to his own fairly quickly in the NFL. You know, there were knocks on him after his rookie year that I personally don't think were fair. I think a lot of it had to do with conversion rate. I think rookie year, he had about 104 targets, and I think he caught 65 of those, if I remember correctly. Not so great in terms of, I mean, I guess that's 60%. I guess it's not terrible, but there were knocks on it regardless. 2022, we saw a better version of him. We saw his average go down, but I feel like we saw him do more with his opportunities. Obviously, he crossed a 1,000-yard mark, got pretty close to 1,200, which we saw in 2023, a little regression with that. But I feel like that offense was spreading the ball more around in 2023, which is always great for NFL and terrible for fantasy. But overall, I do like the contract. He's a good player. He gives Philly a huge advantage having him as the number two to AJ Brown, but I think one of the bigger sides of this is that they locked him up because there's potential that AJ Brown is not in Philly long term. You know, in the ever popular social media era, apparently if you unfollow people and you follow other people, that makes you saying you're dumping your team and going elsewhere. It's just quite interesting that this extension came out fair and then fairly close to it. The rumors of Smith leaving the Eagles have come out as well.
The Brown, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know. Yes, I really, oh, you're good. I don't know if I believe that too much. It just feels like the Eagles like to keep their guys. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Either way, I think I'm good with it. If I'm an owner of Smith and Dynasty, I do think he is a top tier wide receiver. Maybe not like the pinnacle one, but he's very, very good. Milo, did you have any thoughts on that at all?
Nothing in particular. I think it sets a good precedent for because he is essentially a wide receiver too, but he has been nothing but consistent since he got in the league. But that's a precedent for wide receiver too, starting to get paid a little bit more and get a little bit more respect in the league. And I think that's good to see, because there's a lot more talent, especially with wide receivers coming into the league.
Yeah, I mean, you saw somebody like Calvin Ridley get, what was it, $23 million a year, and we certainly don't believe in him anywhere near as much as we believe in Smith, and the money's fairly similar. A couple million more, I think, a year for Smith, but, you know. Moving right along, we'll keep this short and sweet here. T. Higgins says he does anticipate playing for the Bengals in 2024. Sounds kind of like a no-duh question. I mean, you know, no-duh answer, rather, like you're franchise tagged, but, you know, how much do you play? I don't know. I think he's going to play a full year. I don't think he's going to hold out. But you guys give me a yes or no. T. Higgins is on the Cincinnati Bengals in 2025. Yes or no, Milo?
I say yes.
Matt?
I say no.
All right. So then this maybe applies to Matt more then. Yes or no, Higgins is on the Bengals after the trade deadline of 2024.
Oh. Yes, because I think the Bengals start off hot and don't move anyone because they think they have something in this, and they probably realize they have 1 year of a window with Higgins to get it done. You know, Burrow's cap hit goes from $29 million to $46 million next year. Hmm. A very clear way to get that and keep your team together is to not pay your wide receiver $23, $25 million a year. And then obviously you set that precedent. You have to pay your wide receiver one more than you're paying T. Higgins. So what does Jamar Chase's contract look like if you just gave T. Higgins $25 million a year?
Yeah, I've heard rumors for Chase around like 35 or 32, which I mean, you tell somebody that 5 years ago, they tell you you're insane. So seems like it might be happening, though. So we'll see with that and Jefferson. I'm going to answer no, yes to those two questions. All right, Matt, we're going to give you about 60 seconds. No more, no less. I got to get the time ticker on this. Some sort of like signal.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Jeopardy.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to give you a soapbox here. Short, sweet, and angry. What do you got?
So we talked about it. Oh, we got a great response about it on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But I am starting to, as I've dug in, I think I'm starting to form a hill that I might be willing to die on, and that Julio McLaughlin is actually going to be the running back. I don't want to say to own in Denver, but I like where everything's going. I like these Sean Payton Joker. Got to find that guy. Got to find that role. Got to mimic a Kamara situation. Again, this is not me saying that Jaleel McLaughlin is Alvin Kamara. But it is saying that every time this kid has touched the ball, something good has, not every time, but you know what I mean. Something good has happened, and something good has come from that. The upside is tremendous. And I'm sure at some point going through Hajduk's head has been that I'm obsessed with undersized running backs. That
can anybody say Deuce Vaughn?
He's the number one RB in Dallas right now. Anyway, I got like five more seconds here. I want you guys all to just pay attention to Jaleel McLaughlin and what happens in camp, what happens as we move through the offseason. If you all want to come back and flame me at the end of, you know, training camp, that's great. But I think he's someone that you should put on your radar. I think he's someone that's fun. I think he's someone that doesn't need a lot of snaps to produce. So leave you with that.
All righty. Sounds good. We'll leave it at that. No commentary. We got our first listener question. I'm going to go ahead and play it here. Let's hope it works.
Hey, guys. I love what you're doing with the show. My name's Josh. Thanks for all your content. I'm a weekly listener. My question for you is Marvin Harrison Jr. worth all the hype? He's receiving a lot of it. Is he the clear-cut guy? You know, I'm a dynasty owner here, single QB league, and it seems like he's guaranteed to go the 101. Is there that much of a difference between, let's say, him and Neighbors or Dunze? If I had, like, the 103, is it worth trading big for the 101. Thank you for all you guys do.
All right, so that was a great voicemail. Thank you, Josh. I'm going to give, I mean, there's a lot there to break down. Firstly, is he worth the hype? Yes, he's worth the hype. Is he that much more worth it than the 103? That's the key question. And I've said this, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not. At this point, me personally, and this is probably a bit of a hot take, but I don't know how much, depending on who you ask. I am borderline just as okay with the 103 as I am the 101. If I have the 101, I'm probably looking to trade back into somebody who's willing to pay me. I don't remember the words you used, Josh, but like something nuts to go up to the 101. Like I would love to take that. I think that Neighbors, Odunze, and Harrison are relatively close. You can rank them, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, and I think that their margins are pretty thin. So I will take that all day. If I'm ahead, I will trade back to the 103. I think there's definitely a drop-off after that. That's me personally. You guys have any opinions on that? Do you think I'm nuts?
I agree with you. I think the top three receivers in the whole receiver class as a whole is stacked. And I think that you can definitely find somebody in your league that really wants that 101, who has a specific idea of what they want to do with it and will give you a haul for that pick and make your draft a lot more fun.
I mean, I think the key thing that Josh mentioned is that he's in a one QB league, which changes just everything. Because you have one QB that's potentially going to a good situation, and that's Williams in Chicago. The fact that those words are kind of out of my mouth are insane. But obviously you have a great receiving, a base receiving core there. They have the 9th pick to do something else with it. If you need a QB and Josh is picking first overall and he has, I don't know, let's say he's in a, he didn't tell us his league size if I remember correctly, but let's say he's in a 12 man and he's rocking, I don't know, he's a mid-tier 12 man guy. Throw a name out there. Aaron Rodgers, maybe? I don't know. Like, who's...
You're talking a quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah. 12-man league.
Trevor Lawrence. How bad?
Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. So, you're rocking Trevor Lawrence, or you have the ability to draft Caleb Williams, who has all this promise around him, who every draft analyst, love or hate him, has said, he is a generational talent. Now, do I agree with it? I want to agree with it because apparently everyone thinks it's true. But I like Caleb Williams' situation significantly better than I probably like 50% of the QBs in this league. Zach's making a face at me.
What are you talking about? Am I missing something? Did I miss a meme?
What are you talking about? Oh, Caleb, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I just felt like we couldn't get past that. Also, I
can't speak words. It's okay.
Matt just got off a long
time. It has to do. Yeah, sorry. I've been on a
plane. Y'all don't know this, but we restarted this podcast, I kid you not, like 3 or 4 times, and we have never done that. I've never hit the restart button, and now we're like over here.
This well, I'm delusional.
Hopefully, you're getting the best analysis, but the craziest version.
Okay, so, regardless.
It's interesting, I think, that we all kind of agree, it sounds like, though.
If I need a QB, I'm not taking Marvin Harrison first overall. If I don't need a QB, I'm letting it rip on Marvin Harrison. That's my point, I guess.
Okay, so you actually disagree with myself and Milo then?
Yeah, as always.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, hopefully that helps you out. And if you all have a question for us, again, go ahead and dial that line. I'll mention it at the end of the show here. So, hey, congratulations, Josh, on being our first question asker. So let's move on. All about wide receivers here. We all picked a landing spot or two that we thought would not be good. And maybe people have known, maybe we're going to say some obvious things. Maybe we won't. What are some landing spots, guys, that you think will lower the ADP of a wide receiver if they're drafted there? And, or is there just a landing spot that you personally are scared about? Milo, how about you go first?
I've got two. My first is the Seahawks. I don't necessarily think they're gonna draft a receiver in the top three, four rounds. But if they did, I just there's no way that any receiver could succeed in that offense. There's just too many mouths to feed, and no fantasy productive receiver is going to come out of that environment. And my next is the Steelers, because that quarterback battle screams disaster to me. And I like George Pickens, but I don't trust any other receiver going there, I don't think.
Yeah, the Seahawks with Jake Bobo, you know, that guy's just going to be eating all those targets there.
Serious competition. My boy.
I love Jake Bobo.
Yeah, I think if you were listening to the podcast last year when JSN got drafted there, I think that was my perspective in general for even him. And we saw that play out. Like, there's just, if Geno doesn't have a phenomenal year, which, I mean, he had a decent year still, as much as, you know, people may have poo-pooed that year last year. It's just, yeah, I think Lockett and obviously DK are going to still be relevant this year. And then you got JSN. So I completely agree with you. It's going to be hard if they draft somebody that you kind of like and they go to Seattle to really want to draft them later in your rookie draft. So I like it. Good points there. So, Matt, I think you might be even more angry about your spot here than you were passionate on your soapbox. Who do you got for us?
I think I'm more angry at Milo right now for saying the Steelers isn't a good landing spot, but I might move on from that. And just,
well,
if Wilson's not dead, Justin Fields is not as terrible as everyone makes him out to seem. Their top of their depth chart right now is Pickens, Van Jefferson, and Calvin Austin the third.
Don't hate on Calvin.
That's a good spot.
I love Calvin Austin. I think Calvin Austin is super underrated, and I think he could have a good year. I think Van Jefferson's terrible. I think that if you can get a wide receiver two and put Austin in the slot, then you have two semi-comp, that you have two better QBs than 50% of the league.
I agree with your dog. I agree with your dog. I'm going to have to agree with him on that. I just, how do you have any faith in Wilson? I just, nobody else in the league did. Like, he's on the Steelers. Like, you think any Steelers fans are genuinely like hyped about that? I can't be.
If you had Kenny Pickett and you went to Russell Wilson, I'd be tap dancing down the middle of from PNC Park to Heinz Field or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, the Acrisure. There's a Heinz entrance now. I did see that the other week while I was in Pittsburgh.
Are the ketchup bottles still up there?
No, but there is a ketchup bottle out front still on the entrance. I don't know how long that's supposed to be there, but that is still there. Pitt had like a thing going on this last weekend while I was there, and that was wild. So anyways, not that anybody really needs to know or care about that. But
dialing it back, Russell Wilson had 26 touchdowns last year, passes. Is he going to have more?
I'm looking at how their offense is structured. They took Freiermuth in the first round, right? They took Darnell Washington in the second round.
Love that guy.
I do too. I'm a huge fan.
Third
round,
I think.
Well, I think they're going to be running a lot of two tight ends, a lot of running the ball with Najee Harris, a lot of running the ball with Jaylen Warren, a lot of deep shots to George Pickens. I'm just afraid there's not enough targets to go to a second receiver, enough to be fantasy relevant.
Yeah, well, I think you brought, when you mentioned like the system there, I mean, you got Arthur Smith. You trust Arthur Smith? Arthur Smith after last year? I just can't do it.
I trust him to get the ball to anyone else other than Freiermuth after the Kyle Pitts display.
I guess we'll find out. So here, give us your location that you're worried about a wide receiver going to.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, it's the Patriots. They stink. I mean, I think the bigger part of it is that you have, you know, you obviously have a question mark at QB, regardless of who comes in. You have Alex Van Pelt as your offensive coordinator, who didn't produce anything close to a wide receiver two in Cleveland. I mean, outside of the tight end, which Hunter Henry is not going to produce Njoku numbers. You know, Njoku had just shy of 900 yards and 6 touchdowns last year. That's not coming out of this offense in any form of a tight end, probably tight ends combine this year out of that offense. You know, obviously there's scenarios with Juju, who's I like the time at the time I like the signing, but he's just he's dead money at this point. So I'm not, it's not a depth chart scenario. It's simply that you're in a transition period. You have no competent quarterback. You have a offensive coordinator who doesn't traditionally support anything outside of a wide receiver one. And that just makes it tough to get anything fantasy relevant going. So I'm willing to plant my flag on the Patriots are the absolute worst landing spot for a wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, I can see that. And yeah, I mean, the rookie quarterback, that kind of sells it right there. That's all you need to. I think you digging in on Van Pelt is interesting. My only thing is, like, if Jake Brisket is there and he starts the year and maybe gives you eight games and then the rookie comes in, or maybe gives you a full season and then they I don't think I've mentioned this here on this show. I am 99% sure that the Patriots are drafting a quarterback, and I'm 80% sure it's going to be Drake May. So I'd be interested to see if they set him down a year. It's hard to set a guy down a full year, but you never know. So I'm going to give us two here. And I think the first one's going to be a bit of a hot take. So I'm going to try to be quick here. I don't want my wide receiver that I love going to the Jets, or as is often mocked, I don't want Brock Bowers going to the Jets. And here's why. I've got some news here from a partner of ours, Dr. Tom Kreis, of Fantasy Injury Team. I'm gonna go ahead and play some thoughts he has on Aaron Rodgers' injury, and we'll dig into it after that.
Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers was present at voluntary workouts this week, about 7 months after tearing his left Achilles on the fourth play of the season. Rodgers did undergo a speed bridge procedure, which has its advantages, particularly in the early phases of rehab, allowing immediate weight bearing and more aggressive range of motion and strengthening in those early phases of rehab, which really sets the athlete up for a better outcome. Over the past several years, we really have not had a quarterback with this injury, so there's no great direct comps, but we do know that a lot of running backs and receivers have really struggled to return from this injury. But that's not really a fair comparison for two reasons. One, the positional demands. Rodgers is not going to need to run like a running back or a receiver does, but also this is Rodgers' left Achilles, not the right. So when a quarterback goes to throw, they push aggressively off their back leg. In Rodgers' case, that would be the right one. And that really requires a lot of strength from the calf and Achilles complex to create a motion called plantar flexion at the foot, which is essentially like pushing the gas pedal. But now, since this is his left Achilles and not his right Achilles, that's not going to be a problem. And if we look at some positive and negative factors influencing his 2024 outlook as he comes back from this injury, on the positive note, again, that speed bridge procedure that really allows a more aggressive early phase of rehab, which really reduces the amount of strength and range of motion loss. He's had a full year to rehab. This is his left Achilles again, so it's not the one he's pushing off of. And the positional demands don't require that much sprinting or quick motions. On the negative side, he's 40. That is not going to help him in the rehab standpoint. And also, this is the hardest injury to return from. But overall, I do not see this significantly negatively impacting Rodgers' ability to throw and play in the upcoming season.
All right. Thanks again, Tom, for that. I appreciate it. Or Dr. Tom, I should say. So, yeah, I think the biggest point out of that, you know, he's probably, I'm going to have to take his word for it, that from a health standpoint, he's going to be okay. Until the offensive line lets somebody through four snaps into the year and destroys him. So that's honestly, I've got three reasons. One, Rodgers is 40. Let's even assume that both he and the rookie receiver, tight end or wide receiver, whoever that is, has a great year this coming year. How long is Rodgers really going to be around? It doesn't seem like playing quarterback, frankly, in the NFL is really his priority. I think that being relevant is to him. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, he was considering a vice presidential run. He said he seriously considered retirement before the Jets trade. I just don't 100% believe that Rodgers is necessarily in it for the long haul here. Max, what? We get maybe 2 years. Rodgers notoriously hates targeting and working with rookies and young players. That's another ding. Are we just forgetting that? also the same O-line, like I said, that was responsible for getting killed last year in four snaps, has maybe on paper improved, but they improved it by two guys that get injured all the time. So is that really going to, like, how often are those two guys even going to be on the field together? And then three, to wrap it up here, what are the chances that this rookie will ever be the number one on that offense? With Garrett Wilson there, it's almost certainly that whoever they draft is never going to outperform him anyways, or at least if they do, rarely, which perhaps, like, maybe you're okay with an Addison or a Waddle type, maybe T. Higgins type if you're hopeful. But, like, if they take somebody in the top 10 especially, not that that's the only place they have their pick, but if they take somebody in the top 10, like, that's not what I want my ceiling to be. I don't want my ceiling to be the wide receiver two on a team if I can help it. So I'm kind of out. I don't want those guys to be somebody that my favorite player goes to that I am hoping to draft. And then the second team here is the Panthers for obvious reasons. They suck. They're going to continue to suck this year. I have no faith in ownership. I think I can end it there. They don't have a pick in the first round. They do have two in the top of the second. So I would not be shocked if they maybe go with a wide receiver that could help them out. But I don't have any faith. So I'll leave you guys a comment on that if you would like. And then we'll move into some content with Milo.
Yeah, no, I'd like to dive in on the Jets scenario. You kind of alluded to it on, Rodgers isn't going to be there long term, right? Most of our listeners, most of the people who follow us, we've learned, hey, you're dynasty players, right? So the Jets won. How many games did Jets win last year? Anyone know? Seven games, right? With no Aaron Rodgers, right? Let's say everything slightly stays the same, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now you have Aaron Rodgers on the back end of or heading strongly towards retirement, so on and so forth. Again, we're drafting for dynasty. Right. We now bring in, and I'm going to loop Bowers into this because we kind of alluded to that earlier in the pod as well. So you're going to bring some pass catcher onto this offense. You're not going to have Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to have a pick to be able to go up and or to get a QB unless you give up a King's ransom to go get it because you're going to be too good, most likely. Hell, even if you go 8-9, 9-8, you're out of QB range. Realistically. So right now you have a depth chart of Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor, and Zach Wilson. We know Zach Wilson's already gone after, you know, the second that guy can get out of New York, he's out of New York. Tyrod Taylor, who I love anytime you can plug and play him because I think he's the hottest working, I want to get some fantasy points on the board while I have the chance kind of QB. But there is absolutely zero future on the Jets roster at the QB position, which when you're looking at pass catchers, you got to look at the long-term scenario. So that means your pass catcher is going to change QB. You might change a scheme or two, depending down the road on what happens there. It's just not a good recipe in New York currently for a rookie. So I am 100% on board with you, sir. I would avoid that at all costs. And yes, the Panthers stink. And I don't believe in Bryce Young, but Zach Ring might come attack me if he listens to this. So
Yeah, I didn't go too hard into that. But even if he was good, it's going to be hard for him to be good. And I just, I don't know about it, man. So, yeah, and I think just, well, not to toot my own horn, but like last year I had the same concerns drafting Jordan Addison. And I mean, he can be good. But if Sam Darnold's throwing him the ball and Justin Jefferson's your wide receiver one, how much upside do you really have on a weekly basis there? I think you need to consider that when landing spots happen here. So let's get into the real meat and potatoes that you guys are listening for. Milo, take us through some of these wide receiver hidden gems that you have listed for us. Explain a little bit about what you're looking for here, maybe. And then who are some of the guys that you found?
So I was just looking for just players that I enjoy watching and players that I think are going to be successful for a long time, even if they're not where they need to be right now. It's more from a dynasty perspective. My first guy is Malachi Corley. He's very exciting player. He's a very dense frame, 5'11", 215. he's played a lot of different positions. He's very versatile, but when he gets to the NFL, he's going to have to learn some things about breaking off routes. He's going to have to show he can succeed on the outside as well as further down the line of scrimmage. But he's been very consistent in college. He led Conference USA in receiving 2 years in a row, led the FBS in yards after catch and forced missed tackles in 2022. And the team started a game plan for him more in 2023, but he's very, very dangerous player if he can be used in the right system. Next guy I have.
Well, here, hold up a second. Let it be known that you went through an entire description of Malachi Corley and did not mention Deebo Samuel. Congratulations to you.
I was just about to say.
I was holding back.
It's funny because, like, the first thing, I was just on our website and I threw Corley into our wonderful little search here. And the first thing that popped up was, you know, them using him in the Senior Bowl practices for end arounds and reverse plays and that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, High Duke's going to jump on this. The Deebo Samuel comparison's going to come out and we're all going to just be living in the happy, you know, Malachi Corley can be lined up anywhere tree, which I think we should all be in. I think it's a fun tree. But yes, props to you for not saying that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Genuinely, I appreciate that. I like, you know, you bringing out the other stuff. So sorry to cut you off there. But yeah, no, go ahead and give us your next one, bro.
Next guy is Xavier Legette. Just a freaky wide receiver. Just like you see him run, he's galloping, he's going faster than everybody on the field. And he's also 6'1", 220 pounds. Like, it's insane. He's smart on top of having his freakish athletic ability. He understands how to manipulate coverage and that sort of thing, but he will need to work on his route running. Like, he rounds off some of his routes and he just needs to become more consistent in that way and learn the NFL route tree. But I mean, the measurables are all there. Like, he's just, if the right team gets him, he can be very dangerous.
Speak to me real quick, if you don't mind. What, though? Like, I'm really concerned. And so this is like when I saw you put this guy on the show doc, I was like, I really want your opinion. Fifth year senior does nothing, like borderline non-existent on a stat sheet. And then year five, oh, look, hey, this guy's amazing. He's beating up on 19-year-olds. But maybe I'm too cynical. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I feel like it's not a number or a fact I can put on it. Like, it's just, I watch the guy and I have a gut feeling that he's going to be good. Like, he seems right. He just seems right.
Tape doesn't lie, right?
Yeah.
Although I will say he can't, I feel like his biggest struggle is not being able to adjust to a non-perfect throw. That's the only knock I've seen on tape that, you know, he doesn't, to me, he doesn't track an ill-thrown pass very well to be able to adjust to it. That's the only knock I probably have picked up on him.
I think he does rely on his athleticism a little bit too much. Just like if he gets out of position or something, like he's going to have to work on his consistency for sure. But I think just because he has that athletic ability, he'll be able to learn and be successful in the NFL.
All right. Well, I'll be interested to see that. I am excited about your next guy, though.
Ricky Pearsall. He's been one of my favorite players for a while now. He's just very, very consistent in what he does. Can line up anywhere. Just sharp routes. Understands how to leverage corners, safeties. Knows where the gaps in zone are. Great hands. I believe his dad was a coach and he grew up around the game, just learning all the intricate details and that sort of thing. And he has all the measurables as well. He's very fast and it doesn't show up on tape. He doesn't show up as an explosive receiver on tape. There's not a lot of deep shots to him. He's not taking the top off of the defense, but he has the ability to do it. And if he can learn to do that consistently in the NFL, his route running and his his football IQ should help him be very successful.
Hmm. All right, so we have to ask the question. Is he just a slot receiver?
No. No. He's going to have to put on some weight. He struggles with the hand fighting sometimes, with the press, as he wants to play more on the outside. But no, he has the ability to, and the athleticism to play on the outside.
Okay. I'll put you on the spot here a little bit. If you're in a rookie draft without knowing any landing spots, 12-man league, super flex, where are you like hoping to get him at if you get a little bit lucky, maybe? Where do you think he's maybe
a little bit lucky? I could see him fall into the end of the second. I don't think he makes it to the third. But I mean, there's just so much talent in this receiver class as a whole. And I feel like the gaps between one player to the next are just so, so fine. I do think there is a big five or so, but between that, I think they're all very, very similar just between talent and actual like route running ability and that sort of thing. I think it could go anyway.
I mean, that's where a landing spot is tremendous, right? Like, guys get all the talent. He gets, once you have all the talent, the only next step is opportunity. So, exactly. You know, that's why, I mean, I've always been an advocate of you draft after the draft. There's so many leagues that draft before, and it just, you're throwing dots at that point and praying. And I think, like, especially in this class.
No, I agree.
Plus, this guy makes circus catches, which is awesome. He's on Madden. He would have a 99 rating for like spectacular catches or whatever it is. I've been over here watching highlights while you guys talk.
He has great hands.
All right. Yeah, I've been talking him up. We'll see if we push his ADP up at all with our retweets and our spots on the every other podcast. It seems like we bring him up. So I really like that. I like your notes on that. And there's, just as a side note, all of these guys, he's mentioning it and we're fleshing it out here. But Milo has, you know, their best fit, who he's hoping they go to, and additional comments that he's making on all of these guys in the articles that he's writing. So, all right. Let's do a quick speed round. Give us, so these are your like top guys that you're looking for. Let's go a little bit deeper and give us the next, let's say, four guys that you are looking at as hidden gems that you're hoping to maybe snag in some of your mid to later rounds of those rookie drafts.
So I have two guys that will be specifically slot guys and special teams contributors as return men, but Anaya Smith and Malik Washington are both a little bit undersized, but both very impressive athletes, very sudden, very quick. Malik Washington has a little bit better resume, but I think Anaya Smith is just as talented, and maybe not quite as athletic, but his quickness and ability to change direction is very impressive, and it's almost unique in this class. I have Jamari Thrash, who I think is a great route runner. He did have a little bit of a dip in production transferring from Georgia State to Louisville, but you can still see like all the NFL measurables are there, and he creates excellent separation. He just struggles with a smaller frame against some bigger defenders with the contested catches. I have Luke McCaffrey, who actually played quarterback his first 2 years in college, which I had no idea up until now. He's a very strong receiver, good with the contested catches, and has the athleticism to perform in the NFL, just like the rest of his family. And then I have Josh Cephas out of UTSA, who didn't test very well. His 40 time was a little underwhelming. But I watching him play, I just love him. He's a 6'3 slot receiver, but he can play on the outside. Only a 2.8% career drop rate, which I thought was very impressive. He's overcome some things in college, so I think the character is there. And I just he's a late pick, just sort of a personal favorite guy for me. But I think he's going to be very successful and very talented.
All right, I like it. Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Luke McCaffrey. Good kid. I feel like everybody says that about, you know, somebody like that, I suppose. But, yeah, I'm interested to see. I hope he gets a legitimate shot. And then do you have any, like, ceiling on, like, let's say best-case scenario where he happens to go? Would you – could he be a wide receiver two on a team? Is that maybe a little too high? Wide receiver three with upside? What are you thinking maybe?
I think he could definitely be a wide receiver too. He has the athleticism. He has the size. He's a very reliable target, which I think is what a lot of teams look for as their wide receiver too. It's just going to be a matter of where he lands.
All righty. Sounds good. Matt, do you have any questions for our expert Milo before you round out the show here?
I mean, I have a couple scenarios, but Smith, we talked about last podcast. I'm big on him as well. I love yards after the catch, guys. Love that call out. Huge deal. McCaffrey's the only one that the hype train was going. Now it's balancing, and it's somewhere in there. Do I think he could be a wide receiver too? I hope he can be a wide receiver too. It's just, I don't know. That's so tough for a guy like that. I look at him and then I look like, and this is probably going to be a terrible analysis because they even look the exact same, but Ladd McConkey and, you know, Luke McCaffrey do relatively the same thing, but because one went to a major televised school and the other one went to Rice, you know, there's not as much going on there. So I do like the fact that I think he, to your point, he can be better than his draft pick. And I think he's a fun player that you can throw on a roster and he could perform and be something, but he's also that guy who will plague you because you fell in love with him and then you can't cut him. Even though you loved everything about him, he for some reason, he gives me those kind of vibes of, you know, he'll be a 504 guy. And he'll just sit on your roster because you're like, oh, if I cut him, he's going to break out. Oh, if I cut him, he's going to break out. But I do agree with everything you said in terms of ability and all that. I want to believe. I like the kid a lot. Clearly, Zach's met him, talked to him. I love that clip that you got with him. He's the pedigree you can't beat. It's going to be an interesting. I feel like, again, landing spot's going to be huge.
I agree.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the guys you mentioned. You know, again, this year I've been mentioning, and if you got third, fourth round picks, there's a couple of good guys that you can throw those at. And Malik Washington, I think, is a great call out. And Ia Smith, love that as well. And you can find all that and more in Milo's articles up on the website. Make sure to check those out. Milo, thanks for joining us today. And thanks everyone else for joining us as well. We're glad to have you with us for this episode. Don't forget to like, rate, and review, and repost if you can. It really does help us out. Also, if you haven't yet, be sure to check out our Patreon and the website. Make sure to sign up there if you can at 32beatwriters.com. Don't forget to use that code podcast for 50% off. For Matt Olson, Milo Powell, and all of the 32 Beat Writers staff, I am Zach Hyduk, and we will see you next time.